Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. Mormon Apostle Jeffrey R. Holland at the 187th Semi-Annual General Conference on September 30th, 2017, delivered a message titled, "Be Ye Therefore Perfect Eventually."
Is that what Matthew 5:48 says?
I've never seen that word in Matthew 5:48, and come to think of it, Eric, as many times as I've had Mormons try to pummel me with Matthew 5:48, I've never heard them use the word eventually when they are citing Matthew 5:48 to me. So where in the world is Jeffrey R. Holland getting this idea that somehow Matthew 5:48, "Be ye therefore perfect," which is where that phrase is found, means that for a Latter-day Saint, it's not something that's to be done now, but something that will be done eventually?
Well, let me just read to you D&C 2515, if Jeffrey Holland was to edit it. This is what it would say. "Keep my commandments eventually, and a crown of righteousness thou shalt receive. And except thou do this eventually, where I am, you cannot come."
And again, I think you're right. I don't think any Mormon would want to read it that way. I've never heard any Mormon do it that way. But why did Jeffrey Holland have to give a sermon like this? In the past couple of broadcasts this week, we were citing various articles that have been found in the Ensign magazine that certainly show that a lot of Latter-day Saints are living with a huge burden of guilt, wondering if they have done enough in order to receive the necessary forgiveness, in order for exaltation to be given to them as a reward for their faithfulness. Many of these Latter-day Saints talk about the struggle they have in trying to accomplish what the church has placed on them as a requirement for exaltation. In fact, Jeffrey Holland is going to talk about the very same thing in this message that he gave on September 30th, 2017.
Bill, I was at that conference outside the conference center, and we were doing our evangelism strategy of handing out the Miracle of Forgiveness by Spencer W. Kimball, the 12th president of the church. In fact, we handed out 47 copies of that during the first two sessions on Saturday. As we were handing those out, it was normal conversations with people, and a lot of people don't like to look at us because they don't like that book. But we think it's a book that every Latter-day Saint ought to read, because I think Spencer Kimball did a pretty good job of exegeting the unique LDS passages found in the Book of Mormon and the Doctrine and Covenants. And so I think every Mormon ought to be familiar with that book because he does such a good job, even though I disagree with what he's saying. But after the morning session, it was fascinating because in the next 2 hours, we had several people come up to us and ask us if we had heard Jeffrey Holland's talk, "Be Therefore Perfect Eventually." Well, no, we hadn't, because we didn't listen to the conference. And they said, "Well, this is what we really do believe. And so what you're trying to give people," one person told me, "is not accurate." It was accurate, this lady told me, in 1969, but things have changed for the better. And so Mormons don't have to feel guilt, because as long as they are trying and doing their best, God doesn't intend perfection now. He intends it in the future. And I asked her, I said, "Well, where do you get that idea from Jeffrey Holland, because it's not found in the standard works?" She says, "It doesn't matter." Then I asked her the question, "Well, what happens in 30 years when Jeffrey Holland is passed on and somebody else contradicts what Holland says?" And she says, "Nobody is going to contradict what Holland says, even though Holland contradicts what Spencer Kimball said."
And we should mention that you talk about 1969, because that's when the book was written. Now, let's be serious, folks. Do you really think that God's standards have changed since 1969? That is hard for me to believe, especially when you have a number of church manuals still citing the Miracle of Forgiveness. You had counted over 60 references to the miracle of forgiveness in the manual, Teachings of Presidents of the Church, Spencer W. Kimball. And this one came out in 2006.
To be specific, 69 times, or 12% of all the citations in that manual, which was read by all Latter-day Saints a few years ago, are from The Miracle of Forgiveness. In fact, the book, The Miracle of Forgiveness, sits in the Church History Museum under the portrait of Spencer W. Kimball. It still sits there today. So this book had some kind of meaning. I'm not saying it's scripture, but what he was teaching certainly seems to be what the Mormon scriptures are teaching. And I'm more interested to know what the standard work says rather than what an apostle says at a general conference, which seems to be some way to appease the people that he's talking to.
And I think you're exactly right. Spencer Kimball does seem to give a good attempt at properly explaining what Mormon verses are saying, for instance, in the Book of Mormon and the Doctrine and Covenants. I don't think Jeffrey Holland does a good job at that at all. In fact, sometimes when I listen to Holland, he's really sloppy. He doesn't even quote the verses correctly. He kind of paraphrases them and then gives them a meaning that he thinks it should have. And I would think Matthew 5:48 in this particular instance is a perfect example of that, because the word eventually is not found in Matthew 5:48. But listen to what Spencer Kimball said, and this is cited in Teachings of Presidents of the Church. This is a vetted, correlated manual put out by the LDS Church that the Mormon people were supposed to study after this came out in 2006. On page 39, he says, there is one crucial test of repentance. This is abandonment of the sin. Providing that a person discontinues his sin with the right motives because of a growing consciousness of the gravity of the sin and a willingness to comply with the laws of the Lord, he is genuinely repenting. This criterion has been set by the Lord. By this you may know if a man repenteth of his sins, behold, he will confess them and forsake them. And forsake them is in italics. And of course, he's citing from D&C, Doctrine and Covenants 58:43. He goes on to say, in other words, it is not real repentance until one has abandoned the error of his way and started on a new path. The saving power does not extend to him who merely wants to change his life. True repentance prods one to action. He says also, in abandoning sin, one cannot merely wish for better conditions. But yet Jeffrey Holland gives the impression in this sermon that your desire to change, that your desire to want to do what is right is good enough, and that you won't receive it in this life, but you will eventually in the next life. Let us play for you the first two paragraphs of Jeffrey Holland's message.
The scriptures were written to bless and encourage us, and surely they do that. We do thank heaven for every chapter and verse we've ever been given. But have you noticed that every now and then a passage will appear that reminds us we're falling a little short? For example, the Sermon on the Mount begins with soothing, beautiful, gentle beatitudes. But then in the verses that follow, we're told, among other things, not only not to kill, but also not even to be angry. We're told not only not to commit adultery, but also not to even have impure thoughts. To those who ask for it, we're to give our coat and then give our cloak also. We're to love our enemies, bless those who curse us, and do good to them that hate us. If that's your morning scripture study, and after reading just that far, you're pretty certain you're not going to get good marks on your gospel report card, then the final commandment in the chain is sure to finish the job. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. With that concluding imperative, we want to go back to bed and pull the covers over our head. Such celestial goals seem beyond our reach. Yet surely the Lord would never give us a commandment he knew we could not keep. Let's see where this quandary takes us.
Now, if you're familiar with your Book of Mormon, you probably noticed that Jeffrey Holland is paraphrasing from 1 Nephi 3:7 when he talks about, surely the Lord would never give us a commandment he knew we could not keep. Now, there is a manual that the Mormon Church put out called The Life and Teachings of Jesus and His Apostles. It's a correlated manual that came out in 1979. This is what it says on page 57.
Perfection is a word that causes different reactions for many people. Some people say, perfection? Why, that is impossible. Others say, perfection? I get discouraged just thinking about it. Yet, would the Lord give us a commandment that was impossible for us to keep? And when he gives a commandment, doesn't he, as Nephi said, prepare a way for us to accomplish what he commands? The Sermon on the Mount is the Lord's blueprint for perfection. Of this sermon, Elder Harold B. Lee said, Christ came not only into the world to make an atonement for the sins of mankind, but to set an example before the world of the standard of perfection of God's law and of obedience to the Father. In his Sermon on the Mount, the Master has given us somewhat of a revelation of his own character, which was perfect, or what might be said to be an autobiography, every syllable of which he had written down in deeds, and in so doing has given us a blueprint for our own lives.
Has given us a blueprint for our own lives. Now, that particular portion cites Harold B. Lee. Harold B. Lee was the 11th president of the Mormon Church. In a more recent manual that came out in the year 2000, it was Harold B. Lee, Teachings of Presidents of the Church, Harold B. Lee. On page 33, it said, any member of the church who is learning to live perfectly each of the laws that are in the kingdom is learning the way to become perfect. There is no member of this church who cannot live the law, every law of the gospel, perfectly.
He seems to be accurate when you take a look at 1 Nephi 3:7 and what it meant.
The problem that I see with Jeffrey Holland's sermon here is he is going to somehow undermine the statements that we have just read, not only from the 11th president, Harold B. Lee, in a manual that came out in the year 2000, and also from a manual that came out in 1979 that gives the Mormon the impression that according to 1 Nephi 3:7, that God would never give you a commandment you can't keep. But Jeffrey Holland in this message is going to give the impression that a Latter-day Saint shouldn't worry about that. We are not in our fallen state able to live every single commandment. The law, the Mosaic law, was meant to illuminate our sin and show us our shortcomings. The only remedy for the law is the New Testament understanding of grace, which is unfortunately for the Mormon something that Mormonism does not teach, and I don't think Jeffrey Holland in this message is going to soothe them in that area of their pain.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism.